Welcome to In the Background of Life with Kelly Ramsey, the podcast that invites you to sit down in a cozy living space, sipping a cup of tea while we embark on a captivating journey about our intentional narratives in our lives. I'm Kelly Ramsey, and this podcast is your warm space to unravel the stories woven into everyday moments. It's a tapestry crafted with intention and purpose. So grab your favorite cup of tea, settle in, and let's explore the unnoticed details that contribute to the intentional design of the world around us. Together, we'll celebrate the beauty in the threads that make life extraordinary. Well, welcome back to In the Background of Life with Kelly Ramsey. I am so excited about today's episode because it's very personal to me. We're going to be talking about motherhood. So this will be the first part of probably a 3 or 4 part series, but I'm going to be talking about the journey of motherhood because often we talk about the moment and getting through our days and we forget about the journey we've come on. And what sparked this episode's title is that my 16-year-old is turning 17. So hard to believe that little idea that I thought about, like one day I want to be a mom, has come to fruition. And we have been existing for 17 years. Just hard to believe. So I've highlighted this month to do a picture a day leading up to his birthday. And so that has me thinking about all the things. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So as I get started, I thought about what the journey actually started with. And so my motherhood actually began with barrenness. So I was married for 11 years. And then I moved to Oklahoma and I divorced. And that was not expected. And then I remarried. And in remarrying, I had my first child and I lost her to a miscarriage. And so that was the first time that I actually realized that I could get pregnant. And it excited me, but also I was pretty sad because I was waiting to have a child, experience the miscarriage. And so that's what was going on in the background when we conceived my firstborn child. And so that was 5 years later after the miscarriage. That was 5 years later. And in that 5 years, I had lots of ups and downs of emotions. So if you share any part of my story about being barren, about wanting children, waiting for them to come, having them in your hand, and then being responsible to raising them and nurturing them, that's a hard journey, right? So today in the background of life, we're going to talk about what it was like to be on that journey, where we are now, and some things that I've learned in the process. So let's begin. So as I had my first child, I'll give you the background. I was already in my field of early childhood education. I had taught in the classroom. I was a classroom teacher, a coach, an education manager, all the things in early childhood. I went to school, got my degree, and none of that really prepared me for motherhood because once my son was born, I felt so inadequate and I felt like there were so many things I didn't know and I was trying to figure out. So in reality, we were figuring it out together. So I can remember waiting to become pregnant and being really sad and watching other women have children, still working in the field, still serving and doing the things that I did. But that there was a void there. The other thing I have to tell you is that that void wasn't when I was like 20-something. It was when I was 40. So I became a mom for the second time, full-term pregnancy at 40 years old. And so let me tell you, the stigmas around that, the words and side eyes I would get about being older and not, you know, why did I wait so long and whatnot. It was really heart-wrenching because in that time, I watched other women, younger women, teenage women become moms, thinking about their life wasn't even fully developed or held yet. And here they are becoming a mom, putting aside their childhood, their teenage years, and becoming a mom, and how hard that would be. And so I started to reverse that thought that it was right the time and right the season for when I needed to have a child. And I was able to provide for them with my husband and provide a wealth for the generations that we would be raising. So reframing those thoughts and reframing that mindset was the first step in my pregnancy and in getting ready to give birth. So I go back to those times. So I was all into all the things. So, you know, when you're expecting, there's so many rules to follow. Don't eat lunch meat, limit your caffeine or don't have any caffeine. I did all the things. Like I was going to follow all the rules, do what was necessary, walk, just mile walking. I didn't exercise very big, so just mile walking, but really enjoying every part of the process. And so the time came for us to deliver, and we didn't have a traditional birth. We had a C-section, and everything was just in alignment. But I remember being in the room with my husband. My mom was here. She stayed with us for 2 weeks. And I remember the responsibility that it felt once I saw his eyes, held his hands, touched all his toes and his fingers, and just looked like, I'm going to be responsible for this little person who's going to grow and who's going to develop. And I'll have sole responsible for making sure that happens. So just think about that, how quickly I could revert from now with my 16-year-old getting ready to be 17 to the moment when I saw him and saw his little fingers and his toes and what that meant, right? So that's part of the journey that we don't normally talk about or we don't normally reminisce on because we're so busy mothering, taking care of all the things that need to be taken care of that we're forgetting the everyday moments that we have as well. So mothering is a journey, right? It's a journey both on my side as a woman and living in society with societal norms and different myths or whatnot. It's a journey deciding when is the best time to have a family and bring our child into our lives. And it's a journey that is both internal and external. So you have lots of thoughts going on. So I want to pause there for a moment because one of my ways of coping through all of those stages and all of those journeys was journaling. So even before my children were born, I had a little journal. I mentioned this last episode, had a little teddy bear on it, and I would write who they were, who they're going to be, what I hoped for them, what I wished for them. And so those prayers are the prayers that I wrote even for my my babe that I lost in miscarriage. Her name was Joy Elizabeth. That was her name. And so I always remember seeing her name first in that book and writing all the things that I remembered about her and what I wanted and hoped for and wished for. And then there was my secondborn and then my thirdborn. And so as I continue on the journey, I refer to that often because now they have lived into those prayers. They've lived into those hopes and dreams that I had for them, and I can see it walking out among me every single day. So one tool is to use journaling as a way to record those moments. The other tool that I use, and I still do, is I take photos of everything. I take photos of first moments. There was a photo of my secondborn singing the national anthem while we were watching a game, and my oldest is looking at him, giving the side eye like, Are you really going to sing that out loud? And so I have moments of that, of them saying their first prayers before they went to school. They would start with their day, saying our prayers at home. And my youngest had a speech impediment. And so he's basically mimicking his big brother. And then he's sharing his prayer. And now to hear him articulate in full, complete sentences, no impediment, is amazing to watch. That journey has been happening for over 14, 15 years, that they do that every morning before they go to school. So those memories are etched in my mind because I take pictures of them or I have snapshots of them. And so in our process of celebrating my 16-year-old turning 17, I've been posting a picture a day at different stages. And every time I open up a picture, I remember right back to that moment of what he was doing and who he was like and whatnot. And then I get to go forward to see this is who he has become. Now he's in the rites of passage as a new driver, and soon he'll be getting his first job. He'll be a senior next year. And so all of these moments are just coming on me at one time. And so I thought I would share, you know, that background or backdrop of the story. So fast forward, as they were growing up in the house, two boys, just everyday life, there's practices that we used in rearing them or keeping them focused on what we want. One was having exposure to lots of different things. So if they were interested in music, we had instruments for them to play. If they were interested in reading, there were lots of books all over the house, arts and whatnot. They had materials to paint. And I distinctly remember, as I'm going on this journey with you, when my oldest was about 4 years old, and someone came to the house and he was like, they're here, because he knew they were coming. And so he greeted them at the door and he was like, come on in. And the person commented like, man, he just greets you at the door like a big person. I was like, well, he's not a big person, but this is his home. And that's what he does. He greets you. And so we proceed with the night and he's continuing to work at the table. And then he gets up and he goes to his art table, which has watercolors on it. And so the guest says, is he allowed to use that? Because he just went over there and started painting. I said, well, yes, that's his table. Those are his supplies. This is his home. This is what he does every day. And so they were just amazed at how he would move in and out of activities. He would come back to the table and talk to us. And he would just really make sure the guest was feeling at home. And so we laughed because the guest was like totally put off that here is this little person, as he called him, taking control, making sure they felt comfortable. Did they want something else to drink? Being hospitable, because that's what he had been seeing of us, right? So what your children see you do, they will also model that same thing. And so this was our way of being in our home. So the guest got up to leave. And he, in his fashion, he got up, he walked them to the door. He's like, he's walking me to the door. I was like, yes, this is his home. This is what we do. And I just chuckled at that because it was so much ingrained in what we did in our home. And we made our home fit who we were as older parents with young children, but we had values that we wanted to instill. So a part of this motherhood journey was also figuring out what parts do I want to impart to my children? How do I want them to be and live in the world and treat others? And am I treating them in that same way, in that same fashion? So those are like key pieces of how we did our work. So at that time, he was the only child. So for 2 years, he was just the only child. And then his little brother came along 2 years later, a nice surprise, but we weren't really expecting to have two. I was just grateful I had the one, and we're continuing on this journey now with the two. So when we had the two boys, I distinctly remembering a conversation someone asked me, how are things going? I said, man, it's a lot. It's a lot to balance every day. And there's just so much that's going on that needs to be done. And my husband was like, oh, nothing's really changed. And I was like, what? What do you mean nothing's changed? Right? Because I was still, as a mom, trying to do all the things and take care of all the bases on my own without saying, hey, honey, can you help with this? Can you take him in to get his bath and I'll give the baby, the infant, the bottle, right? And so I had to remind myself that if I didn't open up my mouth and ask for help, that help was not coming. So a part of our motherhood journey is understanding that we still have needs that need to be met, but we also have to understand that we have to talk and collaborate and communicate about what those needs are. And so I began to see my journey very different after my second child, because I knew I didn't want to get lost in just being a mother. I still wanted a career. I still wanted to do the things that brought me joy. I can remember our home, we had a Habitat for Humanity home when we first got married, and it was small, but it was very comfortable. It was just what we needed. So I remember my art area, or my quiet space, as I would call it, was an easel in the corner of the living room by the window. And that's where I would scrapbook, usually early in the morning or late at night when the house was quiet. And that's how I got in time just for me. And so I would make sure that in some part of my day, I did something that was joyful for me or brought me joy. And that looked different at every stage. So at that point, I had a two-year-old and an infant, a newborn. And so most of our activities we did together as a family, because it's too much to manage as they got older. But once the youngest was about probably 18 months old, then I felt confident enough to venture out and to go to the library or to a bookstore. And one of my favorite things is to just go in a bookstore and just experience that. So I started to give my children the experiences that brought me joy. So then what? That became their joy as well. And I found one picture of them in the bookstore. They were a lot older then, under a table reading their books. So they created their own little tent. And I'm in the area looking at magazines and walking, and I just glance up and I'm like, why are they under the table, right? That was their cozy spot and they created it, right? That's how they did it. But we spent hours and hours at the bookstore. They had a play area so they could play, they could read books. I could get my magazines. And so one of the things we always did is the first thing we did was we would roll over because they're both in the stroller because they couldn't get out till we got to wherever we were going. And I had a double stroller and we would roll over to the magazine section. I would grab the magazines I wanted to flip through and then we would go to the children's section because then they could hang out and they could get out the stroller and be in the area and I could manage it, right? So over time, I learned how to get and have outings and also include myself in it, give me a cup of coffee on the way home, sip my coffee as we're going back home to start our evening routine. So as a mother, you have to put yourself as a priority. I know that's hard. I know it's hard when you're balancing all the different ages and the stages and just life in general. But even if you get 5 minutes, 10 minutes, that's yours to use for what you need to do is so important. Even if it's sitting in a corner, taking a deep breath, looking out the window, planting a flower, whatever it is, take time for yourself, 5 to 10 minutes a day, at least to start, and then you can build up from there. The other thing is that everything can't be consumed just about motherhood. So you need to also have time with your friends, time with your husband or your soulmate, and making sure you build in that time and have a support network to do that. So on the journey in motherhood, so important to create those milestones, to capture the memories, to make time for yourself, And then most importantly, to enjoy the journey, because it is a journey, but we can enjoy it as we're going through it. So this will be a series that we continue to delve into and continue to talk about. And even if you take, just from my story, a moment just to sit and journal, or a moment to get outside and do something, you're doing the most important thing. And it matters, because in a moment, your children will grow up. They'll be getting ready to launch. They'll be starting their senior year like mine. And you will have had all of these memories and moments captured. And all of that time, you'll be able to see the investment of what you truly invested as a mother. So I just want to just commend you wherever you are, just to encourage you, wherever you are in your journey, be present right where you are and take joy for that journey. And with that, I want to also invite you out in May 18th, 2024, we are going to have a full day of just pouring into parents, whether you're prenatally expecting a child or you're experiencing empty nests and everything in between. We're going to be talking about joyful parenting so that we can have joy in our journey as parents. Does that mean that everything is going to be perfect and pristine? No. It just means that we can take joy in the simple moments. And then when we start focusing on what we want to see more of, we get more of that. So if you focus on where is the joy showing up in our family life, in my parenting life, in my mothering, right? Where am I finding joy? And focus on that, then you'll start to get more of that joy. So in this season of my life with teenagers, my joy is coming from really having them be seen and heard, that they know they're listened to, and that they have something thoughtful and insightful to share. So I'm listening for that, and then I'm finding joy that they're articulate and that they can communicate and share those at school, at our home, at church, and in whatever communities, and that they're leaders, and that leadership has been cultivated over time. So check us out on our website, developpeople.org. There's a link for the A to Z Parenting Conference, May 18th, 2024. It's going to be at Rose State College, and we're going to have an amazing time. So until next time, we're going to continue this dialogue with part two of motherhood, and we're going to be celebrating the milestones on our next episode. And so I look to see you there. Have a good one. This episode of In the Background of Life with Kelly Ramsey is brought to you by the Possibilities Podcast Platform.